It's fine. Welcome, all you wolfmen and brides of Frankensteins, to another horrifying episode of Nerd Management.
That intro is horrifying.
I'm your terrifying host, Warner Swopes. With me, as always, is
Alec Ward. What's up, guys?
We got our beautiful producers with us, Justin Richard Smith. And we got, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we got Chris Banta over here.
Chris Banta fodder.
So and of course, we got our
salt and pepper.
Teardrop Teffy Bane Swopes over here.
Your resident succubus.
Yeah. And then,
That's sad.
We got with us again. Mikkel Inabit. Hey,
they call me Burger Chef.
Michael Nabnitz with us again.
Burger Chef to Burger Sack.
Old Burger Sack over there running the soundboard.
Why am I called Teardrop?
I don't know.
It's got out of hand. Your nickname changes every time.
Between that or like Monkey Wrench.
We have 5 soundboards devoted to your nicknames.
Today we're going to talk, this is a special Halloween episode, I guess you could call it, where we're going to talk all about monsters and ghouls, little green ghouls.
Green
if you will.
You know how you know you're a nerd when you use the word ghoul?
Ghouls and geists of all kind.
The crap's a geist. That?
You know, like poltergeist. Poltergeist. You just put an apostrophe where the polter should be and then it's just geists. Never mind. Anyway. I don't want to live on this planet anymore. We're not technically going to talk about comic books this week, so we're not going to have books of the week, but instead we're going to talk about our monsters of the week, I guess you would call it.
Or just our favorite.
Yeah, basically your favorite monster, and we're going to go around the room and just kind of talk about your favorite monster from a movie, TV show, cartoon.
This could be hero, villain.
Yeah, just whatever. Any kind of monster. Like, what's your favorite monster?
Hey, old Monkey Wrench, why don't you start?
Yeah, let's start with you, Tiffany.
I don't want to go first.
All right, I got it.
All right, go for it, Justin.
What was it, Cloverfield, the monster from that?
Yeah.
Very
I really like
creepy.
That. Just the concept of it, because the new, Godzilla that came out in the 90s. Taco Bell really, really hyped to that, and then it was
incredible.
Right. I mean,
why is every monster pregnant?
He destroyed Godzilla with a Kodak disposable camera.
Okay, now, speaking of Godzilla, who is a kaiju. Kaijus are the Japanese giant monsters.
Correct.
Is Cloverfield considered a kaiju? Because I always wondered that.
All we really know is that it is a baby of the actual monster.
I was going to say, so do you think there are two?
There's supposed to be, because they're supposed... That was their original plan, to make two movies. And they found out that the baby just got away from the mom, and then the mom comes and really destroys everything.
Yeah.
I remember that movie, when it started to come out, because one of the things that sticks with me is every movie has music in it and stuff like that, and that had
this was totally
no music
footage,
in it. And when it ends, there are no credits. It's just there, that's the movie. I remember seeing that and just being like, this was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just keep going how we're going.
I'm gonna have to say the aliens from the Alien franchise.
Yeah, that was gonna be my
favorite. Yeah, boy.
I hope I'm not.
Xenomorphs.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll throw a second one in there.
They're just one of the only monsters that I've ever seen that I was genuinely, truly terrified.
Oh yeah.
And I'm a grown man, and I can still.
I'm
still scared of it. And they're awesome. Especially when they're just wet and there's.
Yes.
It's so great.
And the transparent.
Were you saying it to me or to the monster?
That scares me.
Let's have a marathon.
Oh, absolutely. Except we'll skip Resurrection.
You don't like Resurrection?
No, because that's garbage. But that was
AVP.
That's the one where they swim,
I'll even take that over.
Really?
I liked you. What about ADPR was not?
ADPR
was
good.
Requiem was good. The first one was
Alien vs. Predator. Rectum.
Yeah.
Damn near killed him.
Except I like the concept of the Alien Predator hybrid.
Yeah.
but it was very difficult to watch that movie. Just
well, and the fact that it was PG-13, so they couldn't do that.
Yeah, why do that? Why even try?
Not a Hugh Jackman PG-13.
Yeah.
And that's why Requiem was actually not terrible, because they actually
they're like R.
Yeah, exactly.
Things going bad.
Banna, who's
that was, just to hop on that real quick. That was like one of like two movies as a child that I was not supposed to watch, but saw and like scared the piss out of me.
I know, and then you like, who are you gonna tell?
It was like, I was like 5 years old, and like Aliens was on like Channel 4 during the middle of the day.
It's over, man!
And like, my dad was probably doing something even scarier with my mom in the bedroom. And that's why I was like, this was on TV, and I was watching, and like,
getting a cup of coffee.
Dude, it mortified me. I was like, oh man, I was like, I don't want to watch this. This is terrifying. And like, I kept watching it, and I had like this.
Was it the, was it Alien or Aliens?
Aliens. Okay. It was that, and then like, I think with I was Newt. Seven,
yeah.
And I had an uncle who was like, you know, the uncle that your dad or your parents are kind of like, eh, I don't know about you hanging out with him.
He takes you into a closet and shows you, like...
No.
Like
the toys he collected.
No. No, he was just, like, you know, the, like, non-moral uncle
right,
of the group. And
the me uncle, actually.
Like, he's like, yeah, he's like, you do whatever you want.
Drink a wine cooler. Yeah.
Put your hair on your chest.
I guess wine coolers?
That's a true monster. Yeah. Yeah.
Moral just a huge public service announcement
but the real monster the real monster is the uncle that gives you wine coolers. No, go ahead.
But I was up at like 1 o'clock like for no reason, and like I was drinking Mondos. Do you remember Mondos?
Oh yeah, Mondos.
Dude, I was Mondo drunk, dude. I like
you just jazzed.
He's really cool.
Those have like, way too much sugar.
Yeah,
in
he like, bought like 3 6-packs. He's like, all right, well, this need to last us the weekend, and I drank all 3 6-packs like in that evening. And I was like,
I get the phrase that this needs to last us. Like these are for me too.
I'm just getting this visual of you like laying on a couch with just like empty Mondo bottles and
just Mondo carnage.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, quit what I want.
With the I Love College song playing in the background.
Yeah, pretty much. So like, the long story was like. And I saw Leprechaunus, and like I, it just bad.
See, when I was that age, that's when I first saw one of the Chucky movies, and I was whoa.
Okay, I as a kid couldn't like I was scared to go to movies, afraid that they would show the trailer for Chucky because just the very like the.
The
just seeing
it.
That doll would just ruin my day for the rest of the day, there's and I'd just be like, I can't even live with myself. Now I love those movies, and I'm really excited for Curse of Chucky.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so my favorite monster would have been Alien. So I'm trying to think of something. I'm going to go a different route. He's a monster, but he's not the kind of monster you're thinking of. I'd say my favorite monster is Animal from the Muppets.
Nice.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, okay. He's festive. I mean, if I had to pick anyone, like, if you considered any Muppet a monster, I would go Dr.
Man.
Teeth from Dr. Teeth and the Electric Man.
Yeah.
Because that's right. All I want to do is hang out on that bus and just do whatever it is that they do. Like,
bang drums!
Pretty much.
Do you have an animal impression that you'd like to lay on us?
I'm glad you asked.
Thanks for bringing this up, Alec. This is not rare.
No. I haven't been waiting for this all week. No, I really don't. But at the Art Craft, they showed Muppet Christmas. And they had, they said...
Tiny Timber's in there.
Right. They had three of us go on stage to do their best animal impression. Or their best Muppet impression. And whoever won... got like a free movie ticket and like popcorn and all this other junk, and like two people did Kermit and someone did like Gonzo, and then I just did Animal, and like I seized on the ground and like pretended to be banging drums. And
did you win?
Of course.
Oh.
Of course. He wouldn't have told the story.
When I
started lost.
Well, that's vintage Animal.
Yeah.
Was... I want a queen. Who's your favorite monster?
Okay, if we're talking in terms of things that have scared the poop out of me, I don't like demons, so when Warner made me sit through Paranormal Activity at the theater, I cried.
So just like the invisible, demon.
See, if I were gonna pick like if I just had to guess, like we were on that dating game or something, and I had to guess.
Wait, I'm not done yet though.
Okay, all right.
Before you guess, and I'm going to preface this with, just because I'm female, does not mean that you can judge me on this. I like classic. Vampires. Not sparkly ones. classic vampires. I'm talking,
That actually made like Gary Oldman for you.
So I mean, I still like Twilight. I'm a girl, of course.
Because I've
I'm
seen
like
all
it.
The Twilights. And I'm not
don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong. I love Twilight.
don't get me wrong. Twilight's my jam.
But I would say the first horror movie that I saw, and it was a horror movie, and it was an Interview with a Vampire with Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, and I was way too young to see that. And that's when I got started on my vampire kick, and I love vampires. Anything that has to do with vampires, I love.
Have you seen the evolution of vampires, where it's Nosferatu all the way up to?
That scares the crap out of me. We watched that on vacation, and it's silent.
Up to Edward, and he's sparkling. He's like, sorry, guys.
I really appreciate vampires because they are just trying to live, but they just have to live in a different way.
I would have said if I had to like pick a monster that like is the monster that scares Tiffany the most, I would have said Pinhead. Her dad like owned like we all every Halloween we'd watch the Hellraiser movies, which are just ridiculous and stupid and like the dumbest thing you've ever seen. But yeah. Tiffany is so scared of those.
However, I've always wanted the Rubik's Cube company to come out with the Hellraiser cube.
No, my dad would wait behind my door. In the middle of the night after we watched it. And there was this one really creepy thing on Hellraiser. And
the guy
would,
with no lips.
He would wait behind my door until I started to open it and go...
Oh, yeah.
And the lights off. And I would scream. And I would hit him. And then I'd go back to bed. Yeah. And it was the worst.
So I would have definitely thought you would have said...
Seriously, family.
Hellraiser toy? Can I get on that?
My favorite monster, and I've always been a huge fan of like the Universal monsters... And back in the day, at the library, they used to have these things called Crestwood Monster Books. Do you guys remember those? They were bright orange.
I think the first back in the day part was they used the library.
But the library I went to in Plymouth when I was a kid had these bright orange Crestwood Monster Books.
That was the last book you read.
And like when like the covers of the books would be like pictures from a Universal movie, like black and white. And you'd open them up, and so I read the crap out of those. I love those books. And
I distinctly remember seeing the Frankenstein one.
Yeah, and that would make me go and like seek out these really obscure Universal monster movies because they started out normal. They did Frankenstein, but then eventually they got to where they were doing like team ups. And there was even one called Ghost of Frankenstein, where the monster Frankenstein had died, and now there was a ghost of Frankenstein's monster, and that's an actual Universal movie. And I remember. I had to have the library, like, special order that in from some other branch. But because the book existed, I knew the movie existed, and I was like, I have to see this.
Yeah.
So I've seen all of these, like, ridiculous Universal Monster ones. But my favorite one of all time, my favorite monster from those, is the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Like, there's something really scary about him, just because he's really misunderstood. And he, like... He's so big is what always scared me about him. Like the guy that played him was 7 feet tall, and with the costume it added even more. And he would always like the girl that was always the damsel in distress was always like super short too. So they'd make him look just monstrous. And I was always bothered by Jaws scared me as a kid. And then the movie Lake Placid, like things that could sneak up on me from the water always bothered me. So like as a kid, when it's not the realistic stuff like Jaws, like alligators and sharks.
Quick trivia.
But,
what's the shark's name?
Bruce.
Nice!
But anyway.
Isn't every big shark name?
Valanche.
It was.
Nice.
Because that's why.
Hungry for me.
But anyway, like underwater things have always scared me just because when you're in the water and can't feel the bottom,
yeah.
Like that always freaks me out. And
that's
so, like,
why I swim fast.
And like, so anytime water things, and I think my fear of like water things and the part in the Alan Moore Swamp Thing where the vampires are living in the lake and they start attacking these kids that are swimming in the lake. Mm-hmm. What bothered me so much about that goes back to my like root fear of water that I got from the Creature from the Black Lagoon. Just knowing that like if it's not your pool, don't be in it because there's probably stuff in there that you don't want to know.
Yeah.
And
pedophile.
So like the creature
classic pedo behavior.
I also liked that other monsters had names, but he didn't. He was just called the creature.
The creature.
Like that was just his.
Now I'm gonna go out on
Brian from the Black Lagoon.
A real big surprise limb here. If you'll notice, there are many
Black Lagoon
characteristics to the creature from the Black Lagoon in his current
living quarters as there are Swamp Thing, and they tend to have similar traits.
Oh, Swamp Thing is definitely like character design based on the creature from the Black Lagoon.
So, what really happened in your childhood that made this obsession happen? Let us lay back on the couch.
I mean, we'll get there when I talk about Swamp Thing later when we get to the getting to know you section. But
you gotta have Michael,
Yeah, like the creature from the Black Lagoon definitely spawned that love of like monsters and like slimy.
Oh, yeah.
Gooey heroes.
So, your love for slimy gooey.
Slimy gooey heroes.
Caucasian
just,
slimy
just
gooey.
Get past what I'm saying. Let's get to your monster, Michael.
I guess the first monster that I loved was the ants from Them.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still afraid of ants to this day, and I know that's silly.
I thought you were talking about the movie Ants for a second.
Woody Allen.
I'm terrified. Super, super Woody Allen fan. But that was too much.
Yeah.
No, but the ants from the movie Them really scared me as a kid. But right now I am on a monster kick of a whole different type. Anything that sci-fi puts out that is an amalgamation monster is
shark octopus.
Yeah, sharktopus. I would have that. I would have a T-shirt of that. I would name my second child sharktopus.
Well, the best part is
all
that it's
sharktopus.
It's like a total homage to the old 3D horror movie.
But yeah, Sharknado was just
Sharknado. Yes,
that, if I could marry a television show, and nothing against people wanting to marry things
that aren't humans,
but I would just go to town on a Sharknado.
Yeah, just really just wreck it.
That's a huge Sharknado.
Yes.
So,
I can't believe nobody said, and I kind of wanted to do the mistake.
That's a good one.
He genuinely scared me the first time I saw it, and then now I'm just I'm not.
Yeah, I know
a lot about you.
Anything about Ghostbusters,
I love.
I don't consider the Ghostbusters scary.
Just like you. All those things.
Yeah.
That was a different time in your life, though.
Right? Yeah, right?
You're strong now.
You're strong. You're a man.
I'm 40.
No, I'm a man. Don't talk so much.
That's not true. He's just a boy.
So let's move on right from that into our moment of glory.
That's Mike Gundy reference.
There are no
So our moment of glory tonight, let's just talk about, like, and let's make them brief, because we're already running long.
Killing it, yeah.
But let's make it brief, and let's talk about just favorite moment from a monster movie.
Yeah.
I'm afraid mine's going to be Alien, so I'll let Alex start.
It is from Aliens.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of something else.
Yeah.
Just the scene, and you can say spoilers, but this is a, you know, 20, 30-year-old movie, but... just when, at the very end of Aliens, when the queen
and the plastic model bouncing around.
Yeah. But no, when she kills...
They worked so hard on that, too.
When she kills Bishop, just out of nowhere, just stabs him and then just rips him in half. It's the greatest thing.
Oh, I love that movie.
That's the greatest thing. Like, that kind of... Even though these are kind of not monsters, but like Jurassic Park. Like, the first, like... When you see the actual T-Rex, or like T-Rex, and he eats the guy off the crapper,
that was gonna be my moment.
Gosh, all right, I'm just ruining it.
Oh, I got a good moment that doesn't have to do with Alien.
Hey, there it is.
All right, so
Bantha Fodder.
Man, there are so many delicious moments in cinema history to choose from.
This is him vamping.
Yeah, does anybody have one?
I mean, I have one. I'll go ahead and go.
Yeah, go. Go.
This one's been replayed many times, but I love this bit, and it gets me every time with monster movies. What it's known for, the first thing it's from is from Poltergeist. When they're finally done with all of the ghosts and ghouls, and they think everything's over.
Are there any geists?
There's a couple geists.
Okay.
There's this marionette puppet sitting on the boy's shelf.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, I really wish I didn't have that creepy marionette in my room. And it like falls down. He hears it plop, and then he like wakes up, and he's like, oh man, I really wish that scary puppet. I hope that scary puppet's still on the shelf. And it's not. He's like, dang it. And he looks under his bed, and nothing under his bed. And he's like, whew. And when he, like, pulls himself back up to the bed, it's right behind him.
Yeah.
And I remember just, like, the first time I saw that was not from Poltergeist. And it's very super scary. But before that, The first place I ever saw it was in the movie Ernest Scared Stupid. And the troll, who is horrifying? The troll is horrifying enough, but the girl's like, all of her friends are being turned into wooden dolls by this troll. And her mom's like, no, that's not real. You need to go to bed. And she's like, I can't sleep.
They did
an
awesome job on that troll, yeah. By the way, dude. That thing was
And she nice. Hears she hears a noise, and she gets scared and looks under her bed. And she's like, whew. And she gets up and nothing. And I thought that was the gag there. I was like, oh, they're going to do that gag. But then no. But then she checks the other side of her bed. Nothing comes up, troll behind her. That is like my favorite, just in any monster movie.
Wouldn't be.
And a lot of monster movies use that. Mm-hmm. Like, you look, and then it's not there.
Yeah,
and then behind it, the mirror. Yeah. But anything where, like, you think, like, the music's building to they're going to see the monster.
Right.
And they don't. And then there's that, like, slight moment of relief, and then boom, monster. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Which, I want to sidestep, Tiffany, you're musically inclined. Do you get scared at those moments when you hear the music still? Does the music scare you?
Yeah, anything that pops out and says boo, I am just... Buh. I don't care if I'm prepped for it. And I know it's going to happen. Even if I've seen it 6 times, I will sludge up.
Yeah, then I'm still different. Because I don't get... I see it coming, and I'm like, oh, yeah, here's the music, there's the nothing, and... Scare. Okay.
All right, anybody else got a favorite monster movie moment?
Mine's kind of funny. In the original Leprechaun, he has to look... Because the Leprechaun was a cobbler in Ireland.
Yeah.
And he has to literally stop and shine the shoes. And that's how you get away from
them. She puts the pile of shoes there, and he's like, oh, I gotta fix these shoes. Yeah.
If you throw a shoe at a Leprechaun, they have to stop and shine it before they come at you.
I forgot about
that. And so Jennifer Aniston is just like, shoes at this Leprechaun, and she gets away. But she's walking. She's like, I'm getting away from him.
Right.
You see how many shoes I just broke? We're good.
And he just stopped, and it's hilarious, because I think it's Warwick Davis.
Oh,
and
he's
just
going, yeah.
Shit.
A sandal.
Yeah.
I think my favorite moment was the Achilles tendon that Chucky cut.
Oh.
Yeah. Chucky movies are scary, even though they're really meant to be funny now.
Or when he switched out the real ammo for the blanks.
Oh, yeah. In Child's Play 3 when they're doing the war games, and then everyone just kills each other.
Right. I was like, that is freaking terrifying. Why hasn't that happened more?
But why? But then you're like, why is Chucky the genius that came up with that? Like,
right.
he's like a stupid serial killer who's into voodoo and uses that voodoo magic to turn himself into a doll. What a dummy!
Right?
Like,
no, but
what a dummy!
I was a really bad kid and always on HBO when I shouldn't have been. So I watched Tales from the Crypt like crazy.
Oh, yes. There were a lot of
I remember one night staying up really late and watching a horror movie, and I cannot remember the name of it because I want to find it and watch it again. It was about this like killer black cat in this mansion, and literally killed everybody. And the last guy standing, it had killed the last guy standing. But you're like, where the crap's the cat? The guy's dead. The cat should be like, hey, look at it, meow, I won. It crawled out of his mouth.
Oh, that's
gross. Ugh. Freak me out. I would love to. If anybody knows
I'm simply Googling killer black cat in a mansion.
Chris,
make sure you type cat because that raises
it. Is this safe search on? Oh, that's not my computer. It's fine.
I mean, mine would have.
It's page 3.
And then mine was Bogarted, which is fine.
Did I say it?
Yeah, it's okay. It's like we have great
like
taste.
Mines,
man. Yeah. So mine is just. Anytime the bad guy wins in anything, in a moment, like, that's my favorite. For some reason, I always like to root for evil. Like, I don't know if that says something about me as a person, but, like, so I'll just go with this. And he's just a monster as a human being, but not really your typical monster. Whenever Bane breaks the back of Batman and, like, you saw that coming, get caught to the
curb.
Pretty much.
When I say no, you say survive.
I was so excited. Like, I was like, I was in the theater. I went and saw it 3 times. And, like, after the first time, I waited each time. And, like, it was like I was going to get a movie. Then it was like, oh! Like, I was so excited because I knew it was coming. Like, I just... I really
Batman had it coming.
Mainly, I just like Bane.
He's kind of a douchebag.
Bane really pleases me.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about my favorite monster of all time. and we already talked about him a lot in this podcast.
And this
but
is where we all fall.
Because I have to. Eventually, I'm probably going to. You guys keep talking to me. You guys keep talking to me into maybe doing a whole episode of Swamp Thing. But
well,
I don't
hopefully,
think,
so you'll get it out of your system.
It would just be me for like for an hour
on.
And a half. Yeah,
seriously,
but
we'll run the soundboard.
I do it all romantic, like with a real romantic like night guy voice, and just talk about Swamp Thing the whole time. No, but
the
getting to know you this week is going to be we're going to talk about Swamp Thing and like what I like about Swamp Thing.
Well, give us like a brief history first, because I know very little about it. But.
Okay, Swamp Thing was created by Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson, who were like studio mates with.
They were soulmates.
I want to say Jim Starlin maybe was the creator of Man Thing, and like two other guys who all of them were just like let's at the same time because they were big fans of The Heap. I don't know if any of you are familiar with The Heap. But basically, there's this World War II.
I heard it was a heap.
There's this World War II pilot. There's this World War II pilot who crashes into a swamp that's radioactive, and he becomes this monster called the Heap. And this is like from the 1940s. This comic was around. Yeah, it's really, really kind of a weird thing. But
that's back when they thought radioactive
monster moments
was just...
when I bring out the Heap.
But they were all fans of the Heap, right? So these guys are roommates and they're fans of The Heap, but one of them worked for Marvel and one of them worked for DC, and they said, at the same time, let's make a monster that's a Heap ripoff and see which one takes off. And Swamp Thing is the one that ended up being more popular from the get-go.
What was the other?
Man-Thing. Man-Thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dad-Thing.
And they were...
Son-Thing.
Dad-Thing!
but they were made like at the same time by friends of each other. Like so... it was kind of like a gag, and then it just took off. But Swamp Thing is like, I like Swamp Thing better than Man Thing because he's more of a character. Whereas like Man Thing's just like a beast that's around, and when he's around, people are scared. Like that's his power.
Right.
Swamp Thing has like this deep history of like he started out as a human that turned into a monster, but then in Alan Moore's run, they explained that he was actually. Just a monster that had the memory of Alec Holland, and Alec Holland had actually died. Mm-hmm. So, at this point, they make it interesting in that he's just a monster that thinks he's a person.
Yeah.
Where before, he was a person who was a monster and wanted to become a person again. Now he's like, I have no reason to be around. So then...
It's so sad.
Yeah. So there have been, like...
Such a lonely existence.
Right.
I really wish we had the Hulk, like, outro music.
And so what's awesome about Swamp Thing is that he's... A monster that's so desperate to be a person, but
except when he comes up against Batman, then he's
right.
Kind of a jerk.
Yeah, yeah. But I think
I don't
that's
want
always
to be
been
a person anymore.
I think that's always been my appeal, the appeal of Swamp Thing to me, and a lot of that comes from like my love of like the Creature from the Black Lagoon when mm-hmm. I was so young, and then like my love of toy collecting, and Swamp Thing was one of the first toys that I like was able to collect the whole line, and so. Like, just something about that character just reminds me of being young and enjoying those, like old monster movies and things like that. And so I think that's what I really like about it. But Swamp Things have... This is why I won't ever do a Swamp Thing episode, because I feel just, like, really uncomfortable now. I feel like Carrie at the prom. Like, I'm about to get some bucket of blood dumped on me. But...
The remake that they're doing looks like I've seen the original and it's not scary, like it's kind of dumb. It looks horrifying.
Yeah,
this new one?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it looks really scary.
Way too scary. I'm like, guys.
But anyway, like Swamp Thing's been around for so long that so many different writers, a lot of them got their start on that book.
Mm-hmm.
Like Grant Morrison and Mark Miller wrote it together, like they co-wrote it before either of them was big. I was talking to you earlier about Brian K. Vaughan's run, which isn't very good.
Huge right
but
now.
Brian K. Vaughan is like one of the.
It was huge.
He's one of the biggest book writers in the industry right now, and he got his start on Swamp Thing, where he actually.
How is that, by the way? How is that run?
It's fine, but it's clearly his early stuff. He had started. Swamp Thing gets a very convoluted history at one point where basically Swamp Thing has a daughter with Abby, and. I'll finish up here, but what happens is Swamp Thing has a child with Abby, and that child is like, it's really confusing. But Swamp Thing can't actually mate with a human,
right,
clearly.
Because he's up to
the so he possesses John Constantine, who also at the time happens to be possessed by a demon, and mates with Abby, and they create this baby. But that, so the baby is half human and one quarter swamp thing, one quarter demon.
Would that make her somewhat of a magician as well?
I guess she probably, I mean, she has magical powers, but just what a strange character breakdown.
Kid just pops up like, pick a car!
That, like, she's half, just like, just she's just a melting pot of just gold. Like,
she can go to, she can go to college for free in the United States.
Any college she wants. Because they're like, well,
she's
you are one quarter demon. So,
we
after
really
all,
need to fill in this gap.
I'm 1/16 pine tree on my dad's side.
But basically, so then the green, which is like the who Swamp Thing works for, basically. It's like all of plant life is run by the green, and Swamp Thing is like their warrior. So they're like, oh, this is great because we have a half-demon warrior that we can throw at people. And so that's what it is.
And it's a baby.
And Swamp Thing's not in it, like, at all. Like, some of the book he's
typical
in.
Typical dad.
It's like, Swamp Thing's like a deadbeat dad. Where, like, and this is where Swamp Thing, like, got kind of crappy in the 90s and 2000s. Where Swamp Thing...
Because dad,
like,
wasn't around.
Yeah. Like, so this Swamp Thing book is called Swamp Thing, but it's about Swamp Thing's daughter. And it's about Swamp Thing's wife trying to stop his daughter. And sometimes she's like, hey, Swamp Thing, can you help me? And he's just like,
I'm a plant.
Yeah. And so he's
I'm
not
going drinking.
He's not really in it. But now Swamp Thing's good again. Scott Snyder wrote a really great story that kind of brought him back into the mainstream comics. And now
your boy.
Now for all those soulmates out there, Charles Soule. Right, Swamp Thing. And it's like, it's the best it's ever been. It's like on par, to me, it's on par with like the Alan Moore stuff. Like, it's really, really good, and the stories are scary again, like they used to be. And he's back to being that hero monster. And that kind of brings us right into our topic, where...
Before we move on...
Uh-oh.
We have a few questions for you. So... You talked about really enjoying the identity of Swamp Thing and how he's like this misunderstood monster, and it took you back to your childhood. If we could rewind the tape, I would play those words for you, and you really felt like that identified with your youth. Do you need to talk about that?
I do have a sad story from my youth that involves Swamp Thing.
Perfect.
Where my favorite Swamp Thing toy that I own and still own, and I have two of now, is the glow in the dark bio glow Swamp Thing. And my bio glow Swamp Thing, I was real into superheroes, obviously, and I had Superman and Batman and all of them. But like bio glow Swamp Thing, I was like, bio glow Swamp Thing should be able to fly too. And we lived in this really creepy house with a narrow staircase, and I threw him. This is for another day, but when we pulled up the carpet, there was a swastika burned in the floor and a pentagram and stuff. Yeah, dude, it was really a creepy house. But probably yes, but probably
we need to talk
lots
about
of,
this after.
Yeah,
your father lived in this house as well.
Oh yeah, he prayed over it like crazy.
I was gonna say
we lived in this probably haunted by Nazi ghosts house in Plymouth, Indiana.
Like, he should have just burned.
Yeah, but I was like, Swamp Thing should fly. So I threw him down this staircase. And I remember the action he had is if you squeeze his legs, he would punch. And when I threw him down the staircase, one of his legs broke off. And my dad was never, like, real handy at fixing toys. But he was always a really great dad at just, like, whatever it takes, I'll fix this toy for you. And so he did, but he used so much super glue that his legs wouldn't move anymore. So his punching action wouldn't work anymore. So I always would, like... think back in my head, like, if only I wouldn't have thrown him down the stairs.
It's not that easy.
I would say, like, I don't read Swamp Thing. I'm definitely not into it nearly as much as Warner is, but I like to listen to Warner talk about it because he genuinely loves it, and he loves everything about it. And there are stories that he tells me about that I think are quite interesting, like his quote-unquote sex fruit.
Yeah.
And his robot escapade.
Oh yeah, there's one time. One time, Swamp Thing was traveling through space and he got
obviously.
Raped.
As one would do.
He got raped by a robot. I'm not going to go into details. Just read the issue. I think it's Swamp Thing 63. And Swamp Thing gets
hilarious if it was Swamp Thing 69.
But what's funny is both
of but Swamp Thing gets raped by a robot, and it's really weird.
It's interesting.
If I had a nickel,
both Warner Bros.
For every time I was floating through space aimlessly and a robot molested me, I'd have a ton of nickels.
That's what's on robot shit all the time.
I roll the nickels.
It's funny that Warner and I's favorite characters both have been raped by females.
Yeah, there was a point in the 90s where Nightwing was getting raped on the Red.
It's because he's Nightwing.
The Red.
Yeah. But anyway.
Nightwing has like the self-defense of
let's get into our topic of like what...
I want to hear about the haunted stuff.
We'll talk about that another time. That's for another time. But so we've got a little bit of time here that we can talk about. What do you think it is? I talked about what is appealing to me about Swamp Thing as a hero monster. But what do you think it is about, like, in general... monsters as heroes? Because you think you're speaking of haunted.
That just scared the crap.
It's actually probably my sister-in-law. She's staying with us right now. She probably realized it was loud. But
it's just the dog at the door.
Scariest thing in this house.
So
I'm packing.
What do you think it is?
Jude, we open the door and Jude's just like fully just standing up like, guys.
Okay, yeah.
I was trying to sleep. So what do you think it is about monsters that, like, them as heroes is appealing? Because if you think about it, like, any monster that, even a lot of monsters in all kinds of media, like Godzilla, for example, started out as the villain in his own movies.
Yeah.
But then as they kept making Godzilla movies, Godzilla becomes this hero that fights off the other kaiju.
Right.
And what do you think it is that, like, at some point, like in the DC continuity, Frankenstein's monster is an actual character and he's a hero.
Yeah.
Because he's lived so long that he realized, now he's like learned and he's like intelligent and he's like, I realize that all that bad stuff I did as a monster needs to stop. What do you think it is that appealing?
What do you think he sound like when you figured that out? Bad stuff, bad.
Like when he just started to make the connection.
One of my other favorites is like the Toxic Crusaders and like the Toxic Avenger. Toxie, super awesome, super gross monster, but he's a hero. Like he's the good guy. And that's...
As a kid,
I always loved that.
Well, I think it's because they take a character like... we'll say Toxic Avenger just because you just got done talking about it. And somebody, like, when you first see him, you're like, okay, he's clearly a bad guy. Like, I mean,
okay, so
look at him. And then to take that character and then flip it on its head and be like, oh, no, he's actually the good guy. It makes him more interesting as a character.
It's the ultimate don't read a book by its cover.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, good example is, remember back in the 90s X-Men cartoon with the Nightcrawler episode where everyone in the village thinks he's a demon?
Yes.
But really, he's the nicest guy ever.
Right.
Like, that's a good... That's exactly, like, what that...
And German, so it's clearly not
clearly, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And also, it could be the fact that people are... They're, like, maybe subliminally trying to tell you that you never know where somebody's coming from.
Yeah.
Right. And when they do things like that, and everybody else deserves a second chance.
Iron Giant, remember that movie?
I love that
Vin
movie
Diesel
so much.
The one with Billy Crystal has that guy that was real tall.
that's my giant. Yeah. And that guy's dead.
That's okay. How many of you guys have been
Diesel size than Iron Giant?
I'll give you a high five.
George Marisan.
Yeah, boy.
Bullets. Hey. I still cry at that moment.
I'm sorry, that movie is fantastic.
It is that, yes.
So do you think that's, I mean...
It could boil down to also that we like underdogs. And really, you can't prove that a monster, a true horror monster, is doing this stuff because they're genuinely evil. Because evil is a manifestation of...
What you perceive.
What you perceive. They could just try... They could just be trying to communicate, and we're just like, oh, no, this person's different.
Oh, it's pitchforks.
Yeah.
I mean, a perfect example is Jason from the Friday the 13th movies is just seriously like, you teenagers need to stop smoking pot and having sex all the time. But the way he conveys that message is
by, super murder.
With machetes and pitchforks and...
His machete is someone else's Bible.
One man's machete is another
man's holy word. Save so many terrible movies if he just came up and he was like, guys, please, can we just...
He just like takes their joint and like throws it on the ground and stomps it. He's like, there.
Suck a butt.
You're welcome.
But then because they're horrible teenagers, they bully him.
Yeah.
And then he has to chop them in two.
That's why the mom is the bad guy in prison, because she's just defending Her son. Absolutely. And by the way, to revisit Nightcrawler, I think I figured out why he etched all that stuff all over him. He actually wants to be, like, a woman, and he wants to be part of, like, the Suicide Girls, and I think that's why that's why he does all that stupid scarification. I think I figured it out. He doesn't have the boobs.
I think you missed the point of that.
Yeah. He's sitting there, and that'd be pretty scary.
What would have happened to Nightcrawler if he would have, like, found, I guess, religion sooner? And, like, just the scars stopped, like, at his, like, shoulder.
I should not do this.
I just maybe should have stopped.
I should not. It's really hard to hold the knife with three fingers. My tail does most of the work.
Not to play on the episode that we recorded, but I think the girl, Shadow in Green Arrow, really explained it. Everybody has a bit of light and darkness inside them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... You have to face it. And I feel like we kind of want to be that evil person inside. Deep down, we would love to just be that.
Well, to be able to do that. This is like when you're driving down the road and there's people waiting for the bus. And it's like, okay, my hands are at 10 and 2. I'm fine. But if I go 2 degrees to the right, it's like the most horrible scene we've ever seen. Yeah.
Well, just a good example, and this is so cheesy, but like... You know Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Not the X-Men Beast, but like Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes,
the whole thing is like, the witch curses him because she says, you're ugly on the inside, so I'm going to make you ugly on the outside. And the only way you can be pretty on the outside again is if you can prove that you're pretty on the inside.
Like Ariel's sisters.
But the whole point is like, he can't because no one will get close to him because of how ugly he is. So it's like a Catch-22 situation where it's like, he can't get close to somebody to show them how beautiful he is on the inside because of how ugly he is on the outside.
Sounds like a lot.
I'm just saying.
Swamp Thing thing, really.
If I were a woman,
yeah.
I mean,
that's just that's the basics of monster characters is
right.
They don't get a chance to prove that they're good. They don't get a chance to prove that they're good because they're on the outside. They just look like they would kill you.
Yeah. No, I agree with that completely, and it just. It boils down to kind of what Tiffany said. Like, you can't judge. It's the ultimate don't judge a book by its cover sort of thing.
Don't give Tiffany the credit.
She said everyone on Earth should be evil at one point in their lives.
Yeah,
no, everybody.
Like, deep down inside,
everybody,
I just want to go out there.
Don't judge
wishes,
a book by the cover I just murdered.
Yeah, everybody wishes that they could run down that jaywalker that just ran out in front of you and flipped you off as they were crossing the street because you did something wrong.
Oh, I did.
Yeah,
I
but I don't want to
so
murder
hard.
Them. Like, I might be like, make sure you hit him.
Suck a butt!
But, like, I'm not going to murder him.
No, I mean, like,
oh, yeah. You flip me off? You're about to listen to an hour of yawning. Come here.
Hop in my car.
This is worse.
You're not... That one would be worse, rapist, or just people who picked up kids in vans and made them listen to Yanni instead.
This guy had me in his van. What? He actually
really?
Gave
he
us.
Didn't touch
he gave us like guy. Really good candy.
We listened to and Banana Phone like 16 times
and ate homemade ice cream sandwiches. They were better than yours, Mom. What?
Yeah.
Burn, baby.
best part of that whole movie.
Well, guys.
So, I think before we go, since you hinted at it, we should talk about, since it's spooky, we should talk about the haunted stuff.
I was too young to really remember any of it, but like...
Maybe we can do spooky stories. Does anybody know?
I have one.
All right, we'll close it out with spooky stories, and we'll tell you guys, remember, I mean, we've said it a million times, but check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Check out Comic Book University. And also check out Fanboy Factor, who we're associated with. And also check out our friends. They do the Kind of Epic show.
Absolutely.
It's awesome another guys. Another podcast very similar to ours.
From Indy.
Yeah, also from Indy. They're really nice guys. They're really helping us out, getting things rolling with us.
Yeah,
so
they're awesome.
Check them out.
Really
but awesome. We're going to end this, just kind of close it out with creepy stories. I'll tell you about my haunted Nazi house that we lived in. Like, bear in mind, this is not just something you can make up. Like, my sister...
Bears German.
Yes.
I was too young to remember any of this, but my parents were talking about how, like, in this closet that we had, which was a really weird closet that was, like, the house where the roof peaked is where the rooms were, so the rooms were all slanted. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Epicenter.
And one of those rooms had a closet in it that was also slanted, and in the short side of the closet, under the carpet, there was a pentagram and a swastika, like, burned into the floor.
This person wanted to really make sure they sucked. They doubled down.
Yeah, they were like, what's worse than demons? Nazi demons? All right, this sounds good.
Got it.
And so,
candlelight.
So, like, my
sister. I don't know what they did.
Burn, baby!
Yeah. So,
like, all we know is just a troubled teen that was like, I'm rebellious.
Well, I would think that too, but like,
these are my favorite.
When I was a kid, I would have terrible nightmares in that house. And, like, I always just thought it was because I was a kid, but all the time. And then when we moved, the nightmares stopped. Like, not as horrifying as, like, terrible nightmares that would wake me up in a cold sweat of just the most horrifying things.
Yeah, there's shit in that house.
And I'm just like, I'm a kid. I just get scared easy. Yeah. And that's what I came up with. But my sister told me later that as a kid, she, like, remembers, and my mom confirmed this. She's like, yeah, she told me about this. She remembers seeing this really tall blonde guy in our house, and she asked my mom about it, and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
His name was Heinz.
In that room. And, like, that kind of creepy stuff.
Laugh.
So, like, I want, I really want, I've been, like, trying to get Tiffany to go with me to Plymouth and go to that house.
Maybe
that
was a woman on the side named Ivan or something.
But I'm really worried to go to that house, because I, like, that's creepy to be like, go to the owner of a house and be like, I lived here 15 years ago and I'd really like to see this house. They're not, I don't think they would let us in. But I would really like to go see that house now as an adult and see.
What you could do is research the owners of that house and see if you could find out if they're white or they're blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of history.
But I would like to see that house again as an adult because I remember as a kid it being kind of creepy. Like the basement was horrifying, the upstairs were horrifying. Ground level was just kind of normal, you know, what you'd expect from a house.
The terror was above or below.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But like, I would like to see that house now as an adult and kind of see like.
What's the terror? Do you have any other stories from there?
Nah, that's it.
This kind of stuff interests me, so I'm sorry.
So, anybody else have any spooky stories to share?
You said you had one.
Right? I do. When I was young, we lived in Nineveh, and
where's your problem?
It's this backwoodsy area. Like, creepy things happen all the time. And I remember
Battle of the Banjos played
in our house
time.
Was 800 square feet, tiniest right. house ever.
What's a mansion in Nineveh though?
80 by 10.
And I remember frequently waking up and seeing this old lady with the longest, whitest hair standing in my doorway constantly, over and over and over again. I'd wake up and she would just be standing there, and nobody in my house believed me until like a little while ago. I told my sister about it, and she was like, I know, I knew there was something wrong with that house, but, like, nobody believes me, but there was this creepy old lady that would just stand there and stare at me, and then I'd go back to sleep. It was the worst.
Chris, you look like you have a creepy story.
Mine's not really all that creepy. It's kind of funny. When I was in college, it's just creepy. It just caught me off guard, I guess. But there was, me and my buddies were all playing FIFA.
Smoking salvia, and, no.
We're all playing FIFA, and
really
one of my buddies, he had, like, a roommate lights. That we never saw, like, ever. And we were playing FIFA, and we were just ripping on this dude, just how lame he must be. And we're just being real douchebags about this guy's existence, because we never saw him. And when my buddy came in, he saw these clothes on the floor. Like, he would just intermittently come in, like, once a month, there'd be, like, tracks that he had existed and been there. And so he took all these clothes and just threw them up on his bunk. And I'm getting ready to leave his room after playing FIFA for like 3 hours. And 3 hours of us just ripping on this guy. And I go, oh, look. Look at these socks. They're standing straight up. And I touch the socks. I'm like, holy crap, there's feet in these socks. And like this guy was like strung out, blacked out on his bed. And then we just bailed.
So he was in there for all 3 hours.
Yeah.
And he was trash talking him.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It was sweet.
He died
there. Wow,
nice. Michael, do you have any creepy stories?
I don't really believe too much in this kind of stuff, just because some people you don't know who's making stuff up, and you don't always get to experience this stuff yourself.
You don't believe me?
You don't believe that guy was sitting in that bed with his socks on?
But when I was in fourth grade, stuff would always fall out of my closet, and I always just chalked it up to my stepdad not building the shelf correctly.
Sure.
And one night I was told, don't leave your room. Just don't leave your room. And
he probably told you, he's like, I've been doing a really bad job building. Your room's the most structurally sound place at home.
This shit's gonna fall.
Everything else is just everywhere. So just you stay here.
And so the entire shelf fell out of the closet completely down. And I was real scared, so I ran into my mom and stepdad's room. and he was beating the living out of her.
Oh.
Like, as terrible as someone could. And apparently that had been going on for a real long time. I don't know if that was a coincidence or that something was telling me, go find what is happening.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But that's the one thing I hold. Like, my in-laws say their house is haunted. My wife confirms it. My 22-year-old brother-in-law, who's in college and lives at home, will not be in the house by himself. They legitimately hear voices. And I can see how, because I lived there for a little bit, I can see how in a house like that you could hear voices because of drafts and creaks and stuff. But they legitimately will not be in that house. But the thing in fourth grade really stuck with me, just because that's like
that's the one time.
That's
a way to go.
I don't want to follow that.
Next week under management.
But
Michael relives a painful childhood.
I know I look like a jerk because I'm just sitting
ghosts and beatings.
I know. I know. I seem like a jerk because I'm just like completely like you guys are like, oh. And I'm just, like, sitting here laughing at his story, like, the funny parts of it.
Warner knows.
I've known Michael for a long time, and I know all of these stories of, like, horrible childhood, so.
So you're desensitized?
Yeah, I'm desensitized to Michael's depressing stories that he tells me.
A couple of years ago, I didn't have a job, and I didn't have anything to do. And so, during the summer, every night, me and my friends went and... We had a little ghost hunting group because we were young and dumb.
You're unemployed.
Okay. Yeah, exactly, we were unemployed. And so we would go out to places. We would look up on the internet in the day, plan out what we were going to do that night, and then go do it.
Do you look for the orbs?
Yes.
See, I know.
It's dumb now, but some of the things that here in Indiana, there's a mental hospital.
Yes, we've been wanting together.
Central State. And we...
That's the best sound effects I've heard, Chris. I didn't even see you push the buttons.
I heard it, and then I was like, I've got to stop.
Come on, man. Spread your cheeks so it's a hot air on the couch and not just audible.
A little smoke ring in there.
Guys, it's the ghouls. Guys, that was not Chris. That was the ghouls.
Those were the orbs popping.
It's very spooky.
But, tell us about the asylum, because I've been wanting to go. Central State.
It's horrifying. I'll just say that.
Don't go.
Yeah, don't. It's terrifying.
Isn't that like the asylum from Accepted?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But bigger and darker. We illegally went into this place.
Yeah, you being neat, it's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, a lot of people
go. You can't legally go in there.
Right.
I'm not going to say how to.
That's
do
like saying you can't legally go to the quarries in Bloomington. They'll be like, staff.
Yeah. But it was me and my brother and then three of my friends that went, and we were actually recording everything that was happening on a video camera and, you know, voice recorders and everything like that. And... we went to the main administration building, you know, the biggest building in there, and we were kind of just all meeting up, just kind of planning on what we were going to do for the rest of the night, and we heard, like, lots of footsteps, like, not just, like, one person walking, but, like, a group of people walking, and we didn't know this, but police actually use that area to train sometimes, to do, like, breach training and stuff like that. So that's kind of what we thought it was, you know, police doing, like, a... So we hit the ground, and we looked up to where we could see the... we could hear the footsteps, and we saw three rows of black figures in, like, military precision. So we thought, again, it was just military, but then when we were looking to see where their feet were... There was no feet. They were just moving. And, again, we were filming everything. So when we got home... Because at that point, we saw that, and we were just kind of like, okay, maybe we just couldn't see it that well. When we got home and we looked at the video camera, you couldn't see anything. Like, you could see exactly where they were. You could see exactly where they were in plain as... I mean, it was in night vision, but... plain as day, as you can see, but there weren't anything there.
Noticeable.
There were, Anyway, that's my story. Thanks
for I can't even make it through Frankenstein's castle.
I've been really wanting to go to that asylum, but I've heard not the ghost or the scary things. You really need to be scared of the homeless people that want to gut you that live there.
They have
that's probably what you're seeing. Like if we all just stand really straight and walk weird,
they're probably like, "Oh shit, those kids took their video cameras with them. What am I going to buy smack with?"
They have a whole tunnel system down underneath it that's full of copper, and so a lot of homeless people go and steal the copper.
Yeah,
and they absolutely would stab you.
It's not homeless anymore.
No, not at all.
Breaking Bad down there.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, usually if you, I mean, I don't recommend you go just for because it is.
Hey, don't take Jude.
Well, the reason the place
don't take the family trip.
The reason the place closed is it's notorious. Like, and a lot of asylums did this at the time, but Indianapolis is notorious for being just one of the worst. For just torturing and like
we're really begging euthanasia for
and
quite
like
some time.
Yeah. Not only torturing and euthanasia, but like experimenting on inmates and stuff.
This just reminds me of Silent Hill.
Like
I was about to mention that.
Back when
a big House on Haunted Hill.
House on Haunted Hill with the big ball of boobs ghost or whatever. Yeah. That movie made no sense.
Back when actually the Central State was actually functioning, my mom for some like school trip because it was. Like a registered nurse sort of thing that she went, they went into Central State and she said that I mean, it was running, it was functioning, like people were admitting people in there. And she said some of the things that she saw just like, it still like haunts her to this day, just like some of the stuff that she saw.
Well,
so
people still don't know how to handle mental disabilities.
Absolutely not.
Right. I mean, the general practice today is take the whatever the last doctor prescribed and just carbon copy it and
give
your government money.
I know we're getting close to like I have one. I actually just remembered it, like legitimately thing that creeped the snot out of me. I'll be really brief.
We'll close on this. Yeah. This will be good.
Do
you have one?
Nope.
Okay. And perfect. This was how most of my younger years went. I was on a date with a woman. And I was like, hey, let's go out to Camp Atterbury. Let's go fishing. And so we're fishing, and there's this bridge, but at the end of the bridge, like, one side of it goes through, and then at the end of it, like, it just stops, and just it's just woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we're out there.
With that exact spot.
It's a good place. It's a good place to take a lady. So I'm out there, we're fishing.
I like camping.
It's a good time. All right, and
yeah,
it starts to get dark, and there's tons and tons of lightning bugs, and it looks super cool, having a great time. And then at the other end of this bridge where it's just the woods, I see lights coming towards us. And I was like, oh.
Like Ghostbusters 2 style?
I don't know. I don't know. But, like, it was just really slow. And I was like, all right, we should probably leave. Like, I don't know. It could be Park Ranger. Whatever. Like, it could be Dino. I don't know.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, let's stay. I'm like, oh. So we stayed for a little bit. But the lights, like, they moved incredibly slow towards us.
That's
until the
creepy.
Point that, like, it was bright enough that, like, it was on my feet, but wouldn't be on my, like, hadn't reached my all of my legs yet. And it was, like, over the course of, like, 15 minutes.
Oh, man. That's
and,
weird.
Dude, I was like, I'm like, we're out of here.
Crawl
and
up
I'm,
on that roof.
I'm like, we're out of here. And she's like, I don't, man, she was just really desperate to get some crisp Bannatyne. And I was like, you can get it somewhere else.
She wants
like,
some of the burger sack.
Seriously.
We go to the bathroom on my burger sack.
I mean, I was not having it. And, like, when I got in my car, like, as soon as it was, like, I started my car and drove away, the lights went off. Dude, I was like, ugh.
Even just...
I haven't went fishing back at Atterbury since.
Even, like, not even supernatural, just
right.
Regular things, that's creepy. If that was just
were
people, that's creepy.
You were 10 minutes of being away, being from the study
like,
in a death book.
Right,
oh,
absolutely. The house on the floor, whatever that one show is.
Remember that guy at Atterbury that killed those two fishing... That couple
fishing? Yeah, right?
You would have been those people!
Exactly.
Okay, we will close on this one for real. Last thing. Okay, this one's real creepy and is not cool. Think of how old my mom must be, just age-wise, and we're not going to say how old my mom is. But time frame-wise, she was being, like, chased after... She had left a mall, and my mom was... My mom was a bit of a lady stud back in the day, like a... Kind of a pretty lady, and she was being followed out of a mall in Indianapolis, and she was like,
"Would you be willing to say what year?"
I don't really know for sure. I don't know the years. But anyway, so she's being chased out of this mall, but not chased, just like followed closely. She's like, leave me alone, I'm serious. And the guy kept getting closer, and she's like, I'm serious, leave me alone. And she like just started screaming for people to help, and then the guy like darted and left. And then later, my dad was like watching TV or whatever, and my mom walked in, and she's like, Ben, that is the guy that was following me at the mall. She's like, no, no, that's not. He's like, that's not. Shut up, because that's silly. She's like, no, that is the guy. He goes, no, Julie, that's Ted Bundy. And so my mom swears, and he was around this area at one point.
Oh, yeah, he was.
My mom swears that she was followed out of a mall by Ted Bundy and just scared him off by, like, getting people's attention because...
Oh,
yeah.
I
know, right?
Oh,
that's
right.
Creepy.
I can't. Oh, no, come on!
Just like Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Stop.
Finish it up.
Okay, wait. Because we talked about my mom, and I remember it made me think of my mom. Okay, so my mom had been, she had felt that she had been followed out of Kittle's Furniture a couple times, and she used to work there. All right? So we went with my dad about like 9:30 at night. And we went to Don's Guns to give my mom a taser.
I love some guns.
He doesn't like
that's right. Okay. Don's Guns closes at 10 o'clock. Okay, we got out of there. It was like 9:45. And once my parents got out of there, one other dude walked in. The next morning on the news, I'm watching the news because I always wanted to watch the sports part every morning. No one else cared to watch the news. But my mom was in there, and the guy who was running that Don's Guns got shot and killed that night. And it was the dude who walked in right after me.
Oh, that's
serious.
Freaky.
Dude, that's
man.
Total like Spider-Man.
Right was,
yeah.
And I was like, Mom, we were in there. And she, my mom, like, is scared of her own reflection. So she, like, freaked out in the house and stuff. And, like, she said,
that's
why I
so,
have several guns.
Sorry.
Guys, now that we've creeped you out and made you pee your pants a little bit. Have a good, try to have a good night and a happy Halloween. We're all going to go watch like cartoons to get ourselves back in the right mindset. So have a good night, guys.
Hi, guys. Hey, that shit.
Yeah, Ted Bundy, are you serious? Here's the drop!
And my dad was being like, no, that's not, that can't be a true story. Look at this guy.
That's Ted Bundy.
He's a, like,
the
serial rapist.
The second worst serial killer we've had.
Can we turn it down
to
watch?
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
Who is the worst serial killer we've had in
Gene?
Indiana?